before. In things that we shared, just recently in Pohang. It has to do with looking and paying particular attention and time to locations. And our goal is particularly revealed itself to us in this time, in this place. And they said, move of self-exile in Midian. God gave himself to Moses in that bush that was burning, that smooth clay, but not being, not being burned up, not being consumed in the fire. Moses, I've been having the attention awakened, recalled by this extraordinary event, this epiphany, went over to see, of course, what could really happening, how could that be? And of course, we've talked about core narratives in the part in the past, and this was definitely a call to Moses and to do ministry for the Lord. And I don't know, Moses, like most people, definitely I can identify with it. He had a whole lot of questions, and God gave him answers. And how much attention he paid to God answered. Sometimes you wonder, you compare it with our own experiences, and then we can identify with Moses. We have questions, yes, we have questions, and God comes to us, and he gives us answers. And sometimes his answers kind of escape to us. In this particular calling of Moses to go down to Egypt and to bring the people out of bondage, definitely had to do with location that we were talking about. And there are metaphors there, but his location, where he was, not by coincidence. We should think of God as working in our lives through coincidences. No. God always has plans for us that is well laid out according to how we respond. Yeah. But when Moses went down to Egypt and they were bringing hundreds of thousands of people out, not only the Israelites were in that great number, many other people, it was a great event of liberation. And, even secular confirm this. This is one of the great, great refugee movements of people fleeing tyranny, oppression, and terror. Some estimate had over 1 million people. Regardless, it was a great, great, great responsibility on the shoulder of boldness. But it wasn't an army. They weren't trained to fight. And many of them, gave Moses a hard time. And truly, God said it very plainly. Even those who followed Yahweh were often out of step with Israel. But you know some of the stories, not all of it. And the Bible is purposeful in telling us that he didn't go directly. God did not instruct Moses to go to in a straight path towards the promised land. He led Moses to lead the people in a roundabout place. Way, possibly, along the Mediterranean route, Mediterranean Sea, would have been so much easier. But yes, there, that was the trade route. That was the route that the Roman soldiers and many garrisons guarded the merchants. The commerce from going back and forth all the way from Mesopotamia through Palestine down to Egypt and back and forth again on the reverse of the way up. No. God said himself, hey, if they have to contend with these Roman, Egyptian garrisons, they would, they would come by they may meet up with some trouble, and Pharaoh may just change his mind again. Yes, location. God led them in a way that you and I would scratch our head. And last question, how it is, God, if you want us to go not around the Red Sea, but through the Red Sea. You're making Moses taking us through the desert, first of all, and then the Red Sea's ahead of us. And on one side are the Roman garrison, and on the other side is just nothing but parched and dry land. Why then did you lead us or allow Moses to lead us this way? Well, you know the story. God could do it anyhow. And he did it anyhow. They just didn't realize. They just didn't know, like we often do, that God can part Red Seas in our lives. God knows the exact location that we should be in. Unlike chapter 3 of Exodus. If I just share a couple of verses here, I want to show you something about location and God's miraculous and amazing might that he brings through the location. Look at verse 11, Exodus chapter 3. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? And that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly, I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Location. When you bring those children Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage. This same place, the burning bush, and this same place is put out of. They will worship me. This location. Moses should have had no doubt. Even if the people didn't understand that the only way they could worship God as God said it would happen, as God ordained it to happen, as God planned it to happen, to worship Him at that same place that Moses experienced the burning bush, that same place, the only way they could get from where they were to that place would be crossing the Red Sea. So, Moses may not have figured out or understood how in the world are we going to get over the Red Sea. Going to have to cry out to God in terror and in fright. How am I going to accomplish this? And the Egyptians are coming with their army. We are walled and penned by the sea. Oh, if we had just really heard what God had been saying. With all the questions he was asking God, who should I tell them? Who should I tell them? You sent me, who are you, what's your name, blah, 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 blah. God said, did you hear Moses? When you bring those people up, they're going to worship me. This mountain side. Damn, I don't know, that's me, I don't know, with other folks. Busy asking questions. So busy trying to figure this out and that out. God is God tells me. He tells us. And if the only ways to fulfill what God said is to get through the Red Sea, well, that's God prerogative. In fact, that's our problem. How are we going to get over the Red Sea? You know the story. As I always compare Exodus 3 with Exodus 33. Because, you know, long after the miracle of the Red Sea parted, long after God has given us strength and power to accomplish a whole lot of things, sometimes we forget that God promises move from location to location, but all bring us back to the same promise, the same place of revelation, of deliverance, of promises of the future. Oh, here is Moses, exhausted, spiritually drained. God is saying, these rebellious people, after all that I've done, they're going to this promised land, the Father, grandad children, with attitudes of not having gratitude. I got Moses, I'm with you. You've been a faithful servant, but these people, they want to go over basically and mainly on their own. They act like if they know the way to get over and to conquer the land. I will give them the land, but they are going to need the purpose and the spirit that I would provide for them if they had different attitudes. Yes. Moses, the consular intercessor. In verse 15 of chapter 33 of Exodus, and Moses said to him, that is to God, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me from your people, from all the other people on the face of the earth? Verse 17, and the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing that you have asked, because I'm pleased with you, and I know you by name. Then Moses, pushing the envelope a little bit more, going away, promising, well, you know, you ask, how my presence in the earth in a certain degree. Moses says, now show me thy glory. But as Moses said, show me the burning bush again. That's not consuming. Show me the parting of the Red Sea again. God, I need to receive and recover those moments. If I paraphrase more than Moses, God, I already gave that to you. And the Lord said to him, I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. But, you cannot see my face, for no one has seen me die. Then the Lord said, there is a place, there is a location near me where you may stand on a rock. More accurately, I think, in the cleft of a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until you have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back. Yes? No Moses, no more burning bush. No parting of the Red Sea. But I tell you something. I'm still with you. You may feel lost, you may feel powerless, but I'm the God who never loses power. You know something, Moses? There is the location, that place, on one heart. Yes, go there, the same place where you saw the burning bush, the same place that I told you that when the people come out, they'll worship me, even though they were down there worshiping on the door. Go stand in the cleft of the rock. I'll show you I'm still the God with all power in my hand. So you don't have to worry about the people. You have done your part already. My power will extend as long to them, as long as they're obedient to my word. My grace is sufficient. You stand on the mountain top and look over. You may not go over into the promised land. You will see it with them. But my love for you and the people, one day will definitely free us and liberate us and bless us, because you have stood in this place. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's what I wanted to share this afternoon. Praise the Lord. Amen.